This episode of the Scottish Football Coaching Podcast is all about the grassroots game. I'm your host, Lewis Irons. I'm joined by Greg Patterson, as always, but I'm delighted to say Paul McNeil and Alan White also join us to talk about their memories growing up playing football and what they look forward to most when the game can return to normal. Back for another edition of the Scottish Football Coaching Podcast. I'm joined, as always, by Greg Patterson, Head of Coach Education and Development at Scottish FA. Welcoming back to the podcast as well, Head of Community Development, Paul McNeil. And delighted to welcome for the first time, Football Development Officer at Heart of Midlothian, Alan White. Alan, Paul and Greg, welcome to the podcast, guys. Going to start with yourself, Greg, as always. Very focused this week on grassroots theme, and it's one that I'm sure we're all looking forward to getting into the thick of here.
Always look forward to them, Lewis, yes. And this one in particular, it's some of the feedback we've been getting. It's always nice to hear feedback on the podcast. And a lot of people have been saying, oh, you need to do more for the grassroots game. So this is definitely aligned to the grassroots game and the good work that Alan and Paul both do in the grassroots game. So we'll have a good chat, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Guys, great to have you both on. Paul, welcome back as always.
Thank you, Lewis. A
little bit of a change to situation since you were last on the podcast when we were able to do it in person, mate. So I guess we'll have some lighthearted chat, but I guess to start on a fairly challenging note, it has been a difficult time for so many in the grassroots game, for so many in society. But how have things been over the past year or so, anyway?
Yeah. You say challenging, isn't it? We're a month away from a year of lockdown, which I think we all thought was going to be a nice wee fortnight holiday, didn't we? We all thought, yeah, we're packing up March, let's go off for a couple of weeks and we'll all be back. And nearly a year later, we're still here. But we're still here with smiles on our faces. We're still here with big bits of hope because we've just got tremendous people out there. So, yeah, it's been massively challenging, but I think what we've seen is that goodwill from our kind of grassroots community football, just doing what they do best, which is just help. Wherever possible. So, yeah, I'm sure we'll uncover some of that stuff. But, yeah, been challenging. But I think, as Greg says, we've came over challenges very, very well, as we always do.
Absolutely. Chalky, hey, welcome to the podcast. I guess before we get into things too much there, I introduced you as Football Development Officer at Heart of Midlothian. I know you've got a couple of titles that you were humming and hawing about what we introduced you as. But you want to give us a bit of background as to yourself, Chalky, for the listeners in the podcast?
Yeah, well, it's great to be here, first of all. Thanks again for the invite, guys. I mean, the thing is, it's actually great to be anywhere just now because I've just been staring, sitting in my front room, as Paul says, for the last year, looking out over the Lammermuir Hills. But a wee bit of my background, I started at Hearts back in, I think it was 1999. Greg, I think we started round about the same time. And yeah, it was that man, Jim Fleeton, that encouraged me to go to Hearts. And apart from a wee three-year break, moving to the City Edinburgh Council, that's me being at Hearts for quite a while, predominantly working in coach education and the grassroots game as well. If it wasn't for Greg and Paul, I could easily say I've got the best job in the world, so it's the third best job in the world. But it's great to be at Hearts. Just now we've got a club that's very focused on the community, but it's also great to have the partnership with the Scottish FA as well. And I've known Paul and Greg and Andy Gould for a number of years, and they're a great support for our programme as well. So, yeah, good times.
Absolutely. Greg, I know when we were speaking before this, you guys obviously have your full-time jobs that take up so much of your time, but there's a common theme as well with the work that you do out with your jobs as well. What can you tell us about that, Greg?
Well, these two guys are, my kids are slightly younger than Paul's and I think a wee bit younger than Chalky's. So, you know, helping out in my, you know, their grassroots team, these are guys I've always taken anecdotal stories from. And funnily enough, I remember Chalky saying to me years ago, you know, we all, as Chalky said, we started in the community scheme with Scottish FA, teaching coaches how to work within the grassroots game all those years ago. And we learned an awful lot, you know, like sponges at that young age and took an awful lot on. And then I remember Chalky saying to me when he started with his own kids and getting involved, he started learning again because he had to then start putting into practice more and more. And funnily enough, I'm now living that as well. I'm just soaking up so much about how these grassroots clubs operate. And it's always, I think when you do it for a living, you always realise the amount of time that people put in, or you always respect the amount of time people put in. But until you actually in there living and breathing it yourself, you probably don't realise how much time, you know, and it's Paul said earlier, there's just so many people doing so much work, and certainly Paul, I know Paul and Chalky and myself are all kind of involved with our own sons and our own kids' teams to different degrees and different successes.
Absolutely. I think, Lewis, see on that one that Greg mentions there, I think that's when you asked me about what it's been like. I think we've had a year, and a lot of people say it's a bit of a year of self-reflection where you've kind of went, well, what's really important? You mean, and I suppose for a lot of us, I mean, in lockdown, the most important thing is we're parents. Right. We're parents to kids. And I think Chalky's always banged on about this to me, which I think has always been great, that we've got to make those kids happy. And do you know what I mean? They left school. They left a school environment at one point and had to come up the road. And that's been the most important bit for me, to see how community coaches just... And these are volunteers, as Greg says. They didn't give up on people. They just didn't give up. They just went, right, okay, how does Zoom work? I've never worked this. I'm a Jiner. Where does this button come from? How am I going to go online? What's the Wi-Fi? Do you know what I mean? And I think it was just... You just realise that there is a network of people out there that just really, from the bottom of their heart, care, literally just care. And how amazing that was, that they all found a way to get over. So I think that's something that I know Chalky's always kind of just spoke to me about, look, let's make the kids smile. And if we can make them smile, we'll be doing all right.
From your experience, Chalky, through the challenges, through the way that people have overcome these things, and that love that Paul's talking about for the game that we're seeing everywhere, what's your first-hand experience of what you've seen over the past wee while with all these challenges and restrictions and tier systems that have been in place to overcome?
Yeah, well, it has been a challenge. It's been a massive challenge. I think initially when we went into lockdown almost a year ago, I think everybody turned to social media. Now, there was volunteer coaches at different teams had different experiences and different levels of ability to go and use that media. So I think, you know, the first month, there was people in their back gardens doing ball mastery, filming it, getting their kids on Zoom calls. There seemed to be a host of academies getting built up all over the place. But for some people, these were maybe academies that were built at the back end of a park bench down the local park as well, and there was one-to-one activity and all this going on as well. So what it did is it really, I suppose, promoted the importance of the grassroots game and keeping kids active, keeping them engaged with their pals and their coaches, and that's hugely important. It's very easy to do that down the local AstroTurf on a Tuesday night. You know, the kids are getting out of school at 4 o'clock, they're getting their tea, they're arriving in that third of an AstroTurf, and you've got them and you're there as that volunteer coach to entertain them and give them that game of football and that fantastic experience. So I think certainly within our country, you saw on social media different ways to engage with these kids, and sometimes that was maybe a fitness session in the front living room, Alan Quick style. Sometimes it was, as we said, a bit ball mastery. But other guys who maybe weren't as able to do that, you know, we hear stories of them setting up quiz nights over Zoom as well. So I think initially for that, you know, 2-3 months, there was lots and lots of that going on. Although I think as time's going on, we don't see quite as much of that on social media just now. I think everybody's just keeping their heads low. And of course, we had that little gap between lockdowns where we were able to go and get out in the pitch again as well. But I think certainly people will be looking for more ideas as we go along, just to keep in touch with their kids, keep in touch with their teams and their parents as well. So from that point of view, it definitely has been a challenge.
Yeah, and I think the other thing, Chalky, as well, is you mentioned this one to me a couple of times, is the simplistic. I think there was a wee bit where people started off going, right, here it is, and there's a cone over, can you see the cone away over there? And then you realise, do you know something? It's simple things, it's play, it's make it easy, because you're going to have to fit into a tenement flat, a high flat, kid hasn't got all the cones, I've got baked bean tins. So we get back to, you know, something, we get back to the 70s, we get back to something where kids just could get out there and they were going, right. And I agree to it. I think this time round, we kind of went, do you know something? Can you go out and play? Aye. Can you meet one of your pals and go and play? Aye, neighbor. I'll just give me a ball and I'll go and chap his door. And I think we've came, in a year, we've seen a tremendous way of how young people react with each other. Mm-hmm. We don't all need to be led. Kids can work it out a wee bit, and they can lead as well. Because sometimes at the sessions, it was the kids that was having to go and say, I can set the Zoom link up, Dad. Don't worry about it. You know what I mean? Dad, they can't see the cone here. There's no point in you doing that. Let's just make it a wee bit more simpler. Let's try and do. So I think you've seen us having to empower a younger generation again. They say, is there any use, guys? What do you want today? How do we do that? So that was really interesting because, let's be honest about it, they couldn't get trapped on a computer because they can print leave, isn't it? You just go, I'm out of here, I'm off. Yeah.
It has changed days, Paul, because, I mean, we've been beating the drum for years and years of the advent of the computer game, the console. I mean, I keep calling it a Sega Mega Drive or Nintendo, but the kids are telling me now it's PlayStations and FIFA and all this type of stuff. I'm not interested in sitting on a computer, but what it's actually done now is my kids are never off FIFA, but they're sitting there with their pilot's headsets on and they're speaking and they're socialising with their pals, because at this moment in time, it's the only way they can really do that, particularly with the schools off just now. And it's a blessing, but it's also a trap because they're getting their football fix. They know more about current players than I'll ever do. But they're still sitting down. They're inactive, but it's more of a draw. It's more visually stimulating just now than perhaps for a lot of kids going out and kicking that ball. I mean, I'm looking at the snow outside just now in East Lothian as well. So I think what's going to be absolutely key is what we do, and I'm kind of taking the Hearts hat and the Scottish FA hat off just for 2 minutes, going back to the volunteer coach. What do we do and how do we work with the kids when we go back to the pitch? You know, do we still run it as a football team, or do we go, these kids need lots of play opportunities, loads of games-based opportunities, rather than trying to run them like Man City with the, you know, the sports science session for the first hour, then drills for 40 minutes. You know, how can we really inject lots of gameplay in there to make up for the lost time, I would suggest.
I think that's one we get caught up in certainly my experience in South Ayrshire. We were, you know, you talk about that period of time between the lockdowns where it was the tier system. And it was, you know, 1 minute we were tier three, next minute we were tier four, and then we were back in tier three again, but then we were back in tier four, and then it was lockdown. And throughout all those phases, the coaches, certainly that I work with at Troon Thistle, we're in tier four, Greg, but I'm not taking that. We're going to come up with something, as you say, Chalky, to give them that play-based activity. And sometimes it was, do you know what, we're in tier three, which means we can only do X, which means we've got to do something non-contact, but what can we do then that's just play? And coming up with, as you say, coming up with ideas, brilliant ideas. Can we get a bit of waste ground somewhere? Can we get a, you know, it was just as you rightly said, Paul, the genius was probably in the simplicity of being able to make it simple again to enable kids to get playing somewhere, because the parameters or the restrictions were changing so frequently and so often. You can't get the pitch that you would always book because that pitch was shut because we were suddenly in tier four. Right, so what can we do instead? Just let them play. There's a bit of grass over there and it was still August maybe or September at the time, so the clocks hadn't went back and you could still just go and play. And that was the beauty of it.
I think that was the thing, wasn't it? You just had to come up with methods of overcoming challenges and just going, do you know something? It might be a challenge here, but let's just go. I can't go on the pitch because we're only allowed. We used to get 100 on that pitch, but you can only get 40 on it.
That's right.
And what? Well, just get the 40 on it. Just get monitored. And I don't think, at the start there was a wee bit of, oh, this is, and then everybody just went, you know something, I'm just going to do it. Who cares? I'm just going to get on with it. I'm just going to work it out. What do I need to do? Does it need to be 3v3? Yeah, just let them go. And then, as you say, when you started getting locked into your local authority and there was nobody else to play, you kind of went, can I play you? I know you're the age above me, but can we come and play? Can we come and play you? Can we
just mix it up?
Can we just do something? Yeah. Can kids just play football? Aye, kids can just play football. Can you... And it was moving coaches around about. Chalky, I know you're a member of the club, and do you do anything Wednesday? Because I need an extra coach. I'll come help you. I was amazed. People just going, I'm going to go and help him. Another one, Greg, that you just alluded to there as well was when the border, when you were trapped across the border from each other, you can't travel in there. But we all fall, and this is the one thing I'll big it up to our grassroots community. They follow the rules really, really well. but they made sure that they worked out. They went, right, we seem to have 40 kids stuck across the border, right? They're all different ages. I'll book a couple of five aside courts and throw them on it and throw a couple of coaches in there and they'll be all right. Aye, nae bother. Coaches, one of the coaches that normally did, they were just in the club and they worked it out. And it
we'd a loan system, Paul. We'd a couple of kids in North Ayers. We'd a loan system. They were going to go in. They were going to go in on a loan system. Brilliant.
How humbling is that? How humbling that if you think about it, and if people can just grasp that, bottle it, and remember it, it would be brilliant, because the previous year, we were arguing over that kid's mine. Oh, no, he's... But see, then it was like, don't care. Just can you run about with you? Aye, nae bother.
But I'll tell you as well, the other thing that happened, I think, you know, when you started trying to arrange impromptu games rather than following a league schedule. So you started arranging games against, as you say, Paul, the club that was 5 miles down the road rather than travelling 5 hours to play against Chalky's team. What you would do is, and have you been managing to train? Oh, aye, we've been out 3 or 4 times this week. Oh, so have we. You were, I think more people did more, because it's the beauty of football, isn't it? And it's why we're all zealots for the game. Kids weren't able to go do the swimming as often. They weren't able to go inside into BB halls and gymnastics or whatever else they might do. There was no, certainly in South Ayrshire anyway, there was no indoor provision at all. So it was just outdoor provision, and it was football. And it was football. And do you know what? You could just go and get that piece of grass every single night of the week. And so many coaches, and Brian in particular, that helps me out. Brian, I know Brian listens to the podcast, that's why I'm laughing. He, Greg, can we do something again tomorrow night? And I'm going, Brian, I need a night off. Nah, the kids don't. Don't be silly. He says, it's just kids playing football, Greg. And he says it all the time. It's just kids, it's just wee boys kicking the ball. And he's so right. And we managed to get those kids out every night of the week. Lewis, just about.
I know, obviously, we're not going to have to follow or do the things that you're talking about, like loan systems and that forever when things are back to normal, but it does sound to me like all the way that things have adapted and changed, there's a lot to learn from that as we come out the other side that can maybe change the way that we work a little bit and maybe the mentality around the grassroots game a bit. Is that kind of safe to say?
Absolutely. I think there is so much, if we're brave, that we hold on to, and that is a word we need to use. We need to be brave to not just go back. Right, this is the way we always done it again. Right, let's go. Because have we not learned that children are children and they want to play a 10-21er? Yeah. That's what they want to do. And there's been, I've noticed it, because it's a bugbear of mine that people say kids don't play football out in the street. Yes, they do. Adults sometimes stop them. So Greg, your point there that the drumming lesson wasn't on, the swimming lesson wasn't, so there was nothing for them to go back. So, but I do see kids going to do it, but we as adults have to encourage that. As in, Chalky, you using the FIFA one, we have to negotiate, we have to be Kofi Annan. Right, okay, you can go on FIFA. I know you've got to play Foot Champs tournament, but you can play it until 2 o'clock, then you're outside. And I don't care. And you can come back when the lights go back on, because we don't hear that very often anymore, isn't it? See, when the street lights come on, because you never had a watch in the 80s, didn't you know? The street lights were on, I need to get home. I think that is the bit, Greg, that you're right. We can maybe start to get into that bit about what you said is, can we add the extra nights in? But it's maybe adding it in with them. And I know that's something, Chalky, you've banged on to me about for many years. Just leave the goals at the side, put the kids there, let them go, buddy.
Yeah, well, we tried to get some programmes. I think it was a couple of years ago where we actually, we were on a programme for about 9 weeks. We called it a wee play the game centre, where the first week the dads went down and the kids were about 3 or 4 different age groups. There was big brothers and wee sisters and all that type of stuff playing together. 24 kids in one of these old mugger parks in Trinent. I say old mugger park because there's nothing new in Trinent. It's all old, including myself. And we would go and set up 6 pitches and we'd play up and down the leagues. And then it was all set up for them and we did the rotations the first week. But in the second week, at the end of the session, we said, right, guys, bring the gear in. So, you know, these wee 4-a-side goals, you know, sometimes for the uninitiated, it's like the Krypton factor. It takes you about 6 hours to learn how to take them down and fold them up again. The kids learned to do that the second week. The third week they arrived and there was no goals out. So they all marched into the cupboard, got the 12 goals, and they go and put them up together. There was never a bib in sight. By the time we got to weeks, I think 6, 7, and 8, the kids, I think this is what you're getting at, Paul, the kids completely owned this session. They made the teams up. They marked the pitches out. They put the goals out, all that type of stuff, and they picked the type of games that they wanted to play, whether it be 2v2 or 3v3. And the dads that came down eventually just became redundant. And a couple of coaches within the club are saying, no, you're meant to be the coach. And we're saying, no, part of me being a kids coach is to try and make myself that wee bit redundant and give that ownership over. Because if we go back, and obviously you're much younger than us, Lewis, but to Greg, Paul and myself, you were out 5 nights a week and you were going along to your pal and you were knocking on the door and Davey's mum would open the door and you'd be saying, is Davey coming out for a game? Nah, Davey's not coming out. Well, is his ball coming out for a game? You just organised your own stuff and they had that ultimate ownership. I remember you used to have the pitches that were like a mile long. You know, we didn't have a sense.
Post the lamppost.
But you just go and play. And I think that what's been good is I have seen some coaches locally. There has been a little bit of a contrast during that wee kind of gap in lockdown as well. As soon as some coaches got back on the pitch with their 9 and 10 year olds, it was back to running round markers. There was a couple of guys running round pitches, doing stuff without balls. But there was the other guys where everything they were doing, and I'm pleased to say that the guys that take my kids' team as well, I think he's a 2006 just now. I think he's a
2006. It's been that for a while, isn't it?
Exactly. It was a 2006 last time he played. So he's 12, and everything was game. I'm just keep going to go by. But everything was games based. So we'd go down, and I think this is where the new 1.1 introduction to coaching has really kicked in for a lot of guys. Because they'd obviously said to the kids, rather than this is what we're going to do tonight, they've said to the kids, what do you want to do tonight? You know, because they've not played for 6 months at this stage. So there was 5v5 games going, there was 7v7 games going, but this 1.1 course we've now got with all these activation games in there, they were all coming out in abundance. You know, kids coming out and, you know, try to volley the ball off the post, control it, and different relay games and stuff like that as well. So for the guys that did that, you know, my hat comes off to you because the kids were absolutely buzzing. It was coming back to this word play again, Paul. It was great to see.
And I think that's the bit, if we learn anything in terms of educational play or education and how we want to take things forward, parents have learned, I mean, you've heard a lot of parents say, yes, I'm going to phone my teacher and apologise because, yes, my kids are a nightmare at home and I shouldn't. Because we've had to learn how our own children and children are educated in a home environment. And for some of them, that's difficult. So you've had to then think, well, how's there innovative ways to do that? And you're right, we have to grab their attention. So if you think about it, I mean, I'll be brutally honest. Right at the very start, me and my wife, we thought, dead easy, we'll set a classroom up in the boating room, neighbour, we'll make it look like a classroom. And after the Joe Wicks, as you say, Chalky, and by the time we got quarter to 10, which is 15 minutes after Joe Wicks, we went, this classroom environment's not going to work, because structure worked in school for them, but they have a different environment because there's lots of them. Yeah. Here there was an individual, two individuals, different ages, of course, and just fighting, going, and you're going, right, we're going to do maths. Oh, you're not going to do maths. I don't know why they maths. But you had to then work ways out of doing that. And I think that's the bit, Chalky. If we can get back on the pitch and say to people, make it innovative, make it really fun for them, and they'll engage. And I think a lot of us have got a lot of learning from this year that we should then take back on and into our own environment and go, do you know something? They didn't like maths, but I found a fun way for them to do it.
It's that word fun. And this made me laugh. See, that week before Christmas when everybody knew we were going back into a lockdown, or had a fair idea we were going back into a lockdown, or even then, if you're working in the younger ages of the kids, you know you're going to have that kind of winter shutdown anyway. And as I do, you scroll through social media and you see a lot of people saying, it's the last week, so I'm just going to do a fun session tonight. And I'm thinking to myself, what the hell have you been doing the rest of the year? why is it not always fun? It's the last week, therefore I'm going to make it fun. Surely that's your main objective for every session when you're working in kids' football. It's that word fun, Paul, that you've mentioned 2 or 3 times there.
And I think that's difficult, because I think the bit that Chalky alludes to really, really well is, we've got to be a bit braver, because I think sometimes when parents pay money, they're then expecting something to go. And if you turn up and you're going, we're going to play World Cup the night, they kind of go, get a World Cup out back to why we paying the cup. But to think about how you engage children, and I think that's the important bit. Communicate with the parents to say, we want them to be smiling, because if they're smiling, they're having fun, they're enjoying it, they're going to come back, and they're going to come back the next week, and they're going to come back the next week. And do you know something? They're going to stick it to our sport for the next wee while. And that's probably where the linkage goes with regard to the whole way through grassroots. I genuinely believe that a lot of people have survived a lot of them because of people they know in the sport. Because you've got a bit of a WhatsApp group with some guys who you were sending quizzes to every 3 minutes to, because you're just going demented in the house. But these layering effect of people who can then help you in your life starts when you're 5 years of age. And if you can engage a child at 5 years of age to have a big massive smile on their face, believe in themselves, run about, enjoy it, dream. I think me and you, Greg, and I'm sure Chalky, we've mentioned this as well. The grassroots coach is the guy, at the moment in time, you can't do it. You can't drive home in the Mars bar, hanging out your mouth going, I wonder what session I'm going to do. But it doesn't need to be complicated.
No.
It can be two sets of goals, kids running about, having a bit of fun, and then you can just sprinkle something into it. A wee point here now and again. A wee thing here now and again. Doesn't need to be overcomplicated. Kids go up the road, delightfully happy. What did you do? I ran about, scored some goals, dribbled by somebody, and had fun. Brilliant.
That word fun in the way you're talking, Paul, that applies. Yeah, we're talking heavily about children's football here, but you look at across the whole grassroots game, para football, walking football, there's going to be different ways of coaching and adapting it in all sorts of levels of the grassroots game, but that's one overarching thing that applies everywhere, doesn't it?
100%.
100%. There's no two ways about it. There's no argument about it. It's funny you mention that, because we're looking just now, working with UEFA, develop a UEFA C licence. Now, a UEFA C licence is for the grassroots game. As far as UEFA are concerned, it's for coaches coming through the grassroots game. And that might be the pinnacle for those grassroots coaches as a UEFA C licence. In other words, they don't want to go into B&A. But then it was actually UEFA that pointed out the strength of our pathway. Because we've got a children's pathway, UEFA saying, do you know what? You could actually make a UEFA C licence on your children's pathway. You could actually make a UEFA C licence on our what we call our main pathway, which is for the youths and adults. You could probably make a UEFA C licence elsewhere, because it's the same. We're looking for the same competencies from all those coaches. It's just the game model that changes. So rather than being a 4v4 game, it's an 11v11 game, or it's a 7v7 game, just depending on the age and stage. But it's still, as you say, Lewis, it's still in the grassroots community. It's still got fun at the heart of it. It's still got getting people active. It's still got all those same competencies as a coach and a leader. And I think sometimes we overuse the word coach. I think, you know, sometimes it is just being a good leader.
I think that's what, see, when you mentioned that there, Lewis, you're entirely right. And I go back to, I think it was roughly about October time last year when I think adults could eventually come back and play. And I think the very first time we could actually get a game of football, like they could get an 11-a-side. I'm talking your amateur adults. You're not the amateur adults who'd been locked in their houses for months. And I think the weekend of the 8th October, it was like monsoon weather. You know what I mean? I'm positive Noah had an ark built somewhere that it was like ridiculous. The rain came down in sheets. And do you know something? As Greg said, see all of our social media, you weren't allowed a changing room. You had to come in your kit. You couldn't get a shower. Couldn't get anything. And what did we see? We've seen all these adults, men and women, just turning up the side of the pitch, dumping their bag down and going, game on. Do you know something? They could have been five because they didn't care about the rain. And why? Because something instinctively put into them as a child is fun and enjoyment about the game. And I genuinely believe if you give that to somebody, you sparkle that magic dust over somebody, you will never lose them. And what is that great for? Physical activity, mental well-being, and making sure society is a good place. Jesus, yeah. It was brilliant. So I think that was the thing that I noticed was, I don't need a shower, I'm just going to hear him rain. Any more about it?
you're spot on, Paul, because it doesn't matter if you're the Barcelona Messi or the Kilwinning Messi or the Trinent Messi. We've all got this inner child, and we're talking about even guys like our walking footballers who are kind of these 50-plus guys and girls that are still playing. They've refound their youth, but you know, we run these programmes at Hearts, and you've been involved in them around the country as well. They all want to play in these walking football games for the same reason as they wanted to play when they were 6, 7, 8, and 9. And it's not just winning a game, it's been part of something, it's been getting fit, there's the social and all that side as well. So I don't even think that changes if you're a professional player, but you know, there is that performance aspect of it as well. But you want to develop, you want to be around good people, you want to have a laugh, you want to enjoy, and you obviously winning a couple of games isn't a bad thing as well. But I talk about, Paul, a lot of these, and I think we're up to about 50 coach-ed courses have been involved in delivering during lockdown, thanks to Greg. It's great that he's never off the phone, but it's great to see all these grassroots coaches. And what a lot of them have got in common is that they're finishing work, you know, whether it's in the pandemic or out with the pandemic, at 5 o'clock. I keep talking about them driving up the city bypass or the motorway in their Capri. They're back to their house. They're getting that half a bowl of Cocoa Pops down the neck. They've not quite thought about that session yet. And then they get to the AstroTurf pitch with the rain coming in horizontally, and you've got all those 7 and 8 year olds going, right, entertain me. Now, the other thing is, there's another 2 or 3 teams on this park. And this kind of peels right back to what Greg was saying at the start. You know, we've all been football development officers, involved in football development for a lot of years, but I've now been a football dad for 10 years now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I had a knowledge of the grassroots game. I thought I did okay. I was able to help people and support clubs and support football provision within my community. But you get, and this goes back to what Greg's saying, this big added dose of perspective by the time you become football mum or football dad. And that doesn't mean you get that passport to scream and shout at your kids at the side of the park, you know, to sit back. But it's then you actually realise, hold on a minute, I thought when I started this job back in 1999, it was about making players better, making coaches better, making teams better. Now, from a football development point of view, those things exist, and that's part of our job, supporting our community clubs to help them do that. But I think now at the top of the tree, having now been a football development officer and a football parent now, I didn't think that is the most important thing at grassroots. The most important thing now I've learned is that whatever I help deliver on a Tuesday and a Thursday night down at the local AstroTurf, these kids go, that was absolutely brilliant, and they're breaking the doors to come down next week. Now, if I can teach them a turn or a shimmy or a fake or a feint during that time, brilliant. If they go on to be better in the game the next game week when they're playing for the big T in Trinane, absolutely fantastic. But I think I've realised the biggest win as a volunteer grassroots coach, and this would be for your walking footballers and your over 35s, is that they want to come back next week. And I'm absolutely convinced of that now.
Absolutely. It makes society a better place, because there's two things. One you touch right there, Owen, and it shows you the inner child. What I cannot believe, right, at the moment in time, they had to put a directive out to say, don't celebrate at goals. There's empty stadiums, right? And we've got grown men who are scoring in empty stadiums. It just shows you the power of the sport. There's nobody there, but they're still celebrating as if there's 50,000 in the thing, because it's just the sheer passion. But to touch on the point that you made there, Chalk, which I think is so, so vital, and it will be so vital as we come out of this one, this lockdown, more than the last one. Because I think the last one, We all, I'm not saying we all never took it serious, we all downloaded Disney channels, we all kind of done all that, we all kind of went, this is quite novel, isn't it? This is quite different. But the one thing that hit me was when we had to bring people back, and there was a lot of anxiety. So you were queuing at Asda at that point outside, there was deaths happening, there was all that, and we were saying to parents, right, you're coming back, you need to put your kit on. And the one thing that was so humbling to me was we were all a bit nervous. We're going to go on a football pitch. We're going to have to sanitise. We're going to have to do this. Right, no problem. We've got it already. Was the amount of text messages I got from parents after the first session. Thank you for looking after my child. Yeah. Because they couldn't stay. They were in their car. So they had to let them. Thank you for looking after my child. thank you for making it safe. And do you know something? They haven't shut up about it all night. So thank you for putting a smile back on their face. So you thought about that. Now, coming out of this one, that is going to be vital. We're going to have to do that again, Chalky. We're going to have to get kids just going, do you know something? It's great to be alive, because we can help them catch up. I mean, we keep talking about having to catch up. But let's catch up in life for them. Let's catch up with our friends. Let's catch up in society. Let's catch up in the missed laughs they had, the tackles they've missed, the goals they've missed. But you're right. And I think for me, the big bit, and I'm never embarrassed about this, is as a coach, as a grassroots coach, as you say, being brave to bring the noise to a training session. Bring the fun, because sometimes us telling the jokes and us being noisy, and some people just go, I just want to stand here and maybe say red cone. Sometimes we need to bring that energy, because sometimes children have had a hard day, or adults have had a hard day, and what they're looking for, you, because they respect you and they want you to make their life a bit better. And you can do it by putting two goals at a side, a couple of cones, and go and score.
It's an interesting point, because this comes up in a lot of these coach education courses as well, where we say to them, you know, if it's a 1.1 or a 1.2, you know, the children's coaching certificate, for example, why are you on the course? Why are you on the course? What do you want to learn? And obviously we've got everybody on these courses because they want to do well for the kids or the youths that they're going working with. But the soundbite you get, and Greg, maybe you've heard this as well, is I just want to learn some drills. Just want some drills for my kids. Now, there's nothing wrong with that at all, and I need to qualify that. So we kind of make the point, guys, if your kids have been in school all day, and I'm sure they're having a great day at school, but they've been sitting at the desk doing a bit of language or a bit of maths or a bit of geography or whatever the case may be, and they finish at 3:30, 4:00, they get their dinner and they're on that pitch ready for the coach, are on the way doing with their pal, have they been saying to themselves, by the way, hard day at school the day, training the night, really looking forward to it, I hope the coach has got a warm up and some drills tonight. There's not one kid in Europe that's saying that. And again, it goes back to that thing again, is can we maybe get the age group specific goggles on that we're working with? You know, as I keep saying, my youngest is 12, so I keep trying to think of Chalky White as a 12-year-old at Newbattle High School with his Kenny Dalglish Liverpool strip on. What would he want for training? So okay. Ask him, what do you want to do the night? And every night, play games.
Games.
And I think Chalky, you're 100. I go back. Sometimes you forget the good people that were in your life, and sometimes you have to self-reflect. And I went to school. James Grady's a couple of years above me, and we've got a guy at our school, Johnny Bell. And Johnny Bell took all the football. Right, Johnny Bell. And if MD went to St Catherine's Primary in Gallahill, they'll remember Johnny Bell because he was a legend. But Johnny Bell used to just take us in the wee school hall. Get us all to line up on the stage, right? So you just all line up on the stage, right? Then no matter where you went, and he just went, right, everybody sit down. And he just all sat down. He was the cleverest guy in the world. I mean, he wasn't just putting sawdust down everywhere. He was well switched on. Put two benches down. And then because you were all sitting beside your pals, right? Because you thought you'll pick the three, you go, 1, 2, 3, 4, right? All the ones over there. And then you'd think you'd work it out, wouldn't you? So you'd go, Greg, you sit 4 up for me, because he goes 1, 2, 3, 4. So then he'd go 1, 1, 1. And he'd go, oh, he's got a different code. But do you know something? It was two goals and winner stays on, but you're only allowed to win 3 games in the trot. And oh my God, we came out of there on a Wednesday night, sweat dripping on us, pouring out.
I said dripping.
It was incredible.
It's an interesting, but I mean, we talk about how the game's changed and you don't see as much street football and kids have got different distractions, but the Johnny played an important part at so many primary schools, because he was, you know, they were normally the person with the one football in the school, the orange mould master, and they would set the training and where it would be and all that type of stuff as well. And nowadays we've got facility coordinators that are employed by a different business, so we need to have a campaign, bring back the Johnnies. And it sparked a story. I think it was one of the Sunday Mail McDonald's grassroots awards nights a couple of years ago, guys. And I was in my element. I was too feared to go and say hi to him because he was, what a player he was. But Graham Souness was there. I think Kilkenny couldn't make it that night, so Souness was his alternate, and he says, we had the best football coach at our school. He went to Ball Green Primary School in Edinburgh, and he says, the Janny was the coach, and he was the best coach ever, because what we did is, we would go on his office, we would get the ball, and he would say, right guys, I'll see you in an hour, and he sent them, everybody, to that gym hall at Ball Green Primary School, and you can kind of see that kind of 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old Graham Souness in there tackling pummel horses and wall bars and pianos and all that type of stuff. But he actually picked that out because they were given that opportunity to play and own it. That was part of his football upbringing, and he'd gone on to do really, really well.
Yeah,
not bad.
I want to ask you, Paul, you kind of answered this before I took it around the group, but you were saying, you know, coaches listen, bring the noise to the session, bring the noise, that's a great tip. I was going to actually ask you individually, if you had one tip to, you know, a coach listening in that's looking for something like that when they can get back, what would that top tip or what would you say to a coach that's looking for a bit of advice or a wee tip to exchange between each other?
I'm going to Nick Chalky.
Oh, I thought you were going to Paul first.
I'll go to Greg first.
I was sitting back quite happy. I thought you might have...
Not, Paul. I don't want to pinch your ideas.
No, it's enthusiasm and personality for me, and those are the two biggest things. And everybody's got a different personality, and some people, as Paul I think alluded to earlier, some people might not be able to be as enthusiastic as others. I couldn't be as enthusiastic as Paul. I can try, and I don't think Paul could be as enthusiastic as Chalky, but we've all got different personalities, but you can still make it fun within that personality that you've got. You know, some people have got a very dry sense of humour. Some people are up and at it like Paul is, you know, just a whirlwind of activity, if you like. So, but each other can be quite, the session can still be fun. And it's just being well prepared enough I'm going to use the word boundaries, but within that, to allow the kids, to allow the players, adults, whoever it is, to have fun. But there needs to be a wee bit of preparation there for you, just maybe arriving 5-10 minutes early to throw some stuff down. And then just, I think I've noticed some of the guys I work with, if they're not prepared at the outset, the session might run away from them because the kids might be hyperactive when they arrive. But, you know, if they can just maybe get it under some sense of control at the start, and then just let things flow from there, and everybody enjoys it. And just, it's difficult for some people, but be enthusiastic.
Yep. No, good. Paul, you spoke about bringing the noise. What would your advice be?
I think that's it. It's Chalky mentions about getting down to their head. It's listening. It's talking to children. You mean Greg mentioned it, Chalky mentioned it. See if the session works and you think, see if the drill works and you think it's the worst drill in the world, but they love it. Do it. Just say to them, what do you like? And do you know something? Sometimes doing that is really important. And having that, maybe that backup thing, that thing in your rucksack that you can go, you know something, if it's all going wrong, I'll pull this out and I can calm it down, as Greg says, and going. But I think, yeah, you've got to bring the energy, but I think you've got to actually go and say, and if a five-year-old says, can we play a game? Play a game.
Right.
Because they've asked you.
As long as you're not setting the rules and regulations that you can play a game. Because that's the one I got. That's, if we go back to that lockdown, sorry, I'm jumping in here, but yeah, go back to that lockdown and you had to do non-contact activity. And that was tough. When the kids would all say to me, Greg, when we get in a game, I'm saying, son, you can't tonight. Not tonight. So that was tough. So you know, depending on what we now go into after this lockdown, they might not be able to do, but you can do game. The thing is, we're all using the same language, Paul, Chalky and I, about games, but it can be game-related activity, Lewis, and that's key as well. You know, it's game-related activity. It's not 4v4 or 5v5 or 6v6. It can be game-related activity, although it's not specifically a game.
Because if you think about it, I think the one thing, sorry, Chalky, I've got you off the body. I think the one thing when you were growing up, if you think about everything we did, world copy into a goal. Mm-hmm. Right. If you think about, well, we would call it granny. So you would cross the ball in and try and header it in into a goal, isn't it?
Yep.
Wally. I found Wally. I need to rough cast my wall again because we played Wally last summer. It is the greatest game
I never hear the phrase rough cast on a podcast. That's got to be a first, by the way.
Depends on the subject matter, Chucky.
I forgot how good Wally was. I forgot it is one of the greatest games in the world, isn't it? And it's knackering. And of course, my son became a bit of a bandit on it because he's kind of going, see if I just curve it round the trampoline. He can't. My dad's not going to be able to get up. I'm going like that, Wes.
This is a boy for Paisley, Paul. He's talked about his son going to drumming lessons by trampoline in the back garden. Pretends he's from Paisley.
I know, I've lost my. But I think you're right, Greg. I think all the games we played, 10-21-ers, everything was a version of a game. It wasn't go to the red cone and then spin off and go over there and you never see a goal. I think listening and explaining and taking that through is so important.
Yeah. Chalky, over to yourself then.
I don't know if I've got anything else to add after that. No, I've actually got two things. I'm going to invent a word. I don't know, you know, Greg's probably the wordsmith over me, but gamey. If it's not a word now, we need to phone up the people that run the dictionary and just introduce this word gamey. So I'd echo what my colleagues are saying about all these different types of football games, but anything that's a race, a test, a challenge. Kids love relays and races and all that type of stuff as well. So if we do need to social distance, the kids love all that type of stuff. The other thing I would say, and this is probably my favourite one, I can't remember who coined it. It wasn't me. I don't know if it was a Tosh Farrell thing. It wouldn't surprise me at all. And it's not really necessarily a football thing. But the biggest thing I think we can do, whether you're working with 5-year-olds, 10-year-olds, 17-year-olds, or over 50 walking footballers, be the best part of their day. Because all these guys and girls that come in, they're all different. They've all got lots of different experiences out with the session. And I've actually just made a real big, better attempt at actually saying hello, smiling, a fist pump if we're allowed to go and do that, and a wee cheerio after the session. And it might be something as simple as, how you getting on? What you been up to? Just somebody taking an interest. And hopefully, even if I've put on another one of my rubbish coaching sessions, the fact that I've engaged for 5 or 6 seconds might just be enough to get that person back along the next again week and keep them involved in our game. And I think, as I said before, that's the biggest prize I think we can get for grassroots.
Chalky, see that one? That is such an absolutely brilliant, just actually triggered something in my head when you were saying that about the be the best part of their day. When I was taking my son's team one time, I bumped into a guy. I worked in a shipyard, believe it or not. I started my apprenticeship with him 30 years ago. Hadn't seen him in about 20 odd years, right? So here with 2 years, I standing inside the pitch and telling, he wonders at me, said, "Yeah, I don't know you. If you're a boy from Paisley, that's not something you want to hear too often, right?" So I went, "Oh, I don't think so." And he said, "Oh, we were," and I went, "Oh, wow." So we played a few games, and then 1 week, his son's a goalie, and he's like, "Wee man's having a wee bit of a crisis of confidence. He's not playing too well." And he made a mistake, very light, you know, that way, a wee 7-a-side game, and he's made a wee error right at the very end, and the balls went trickling under him, and it's in the net, and his dad's like that. And his dad walked over to me, and he says, "Can you do me a favour?" I says, "Aye, anybody." He says, "He knows you. He says, he knows what you do. Can you go and just say, don't worry about it?" I says, "Of course I can." He says, "Because it will perk him up a wee bit, because he's..." So I says, "Aye, anybody." So I went away over, and I says, "Hey, man, how you doing?" I says, "Look, you did a couple of great wee saves there, and blah, 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 and your dad says you're doing that, and you..." 5 minutes later, his dad comes over, "We're having a blether. I'm in it." He's telling me about his school project. And as you say, he went away, and his dad texts me later and says, "Thanks a million for doing that, because you just brought him up." So see what you've said there, Chalky. I think that is, you're entirely right. If you can be, and I think we noticed that through lockdown, that the parents were going, "Thanks for putting on that Zoom session," because they just got to see another face that wasn't their parents, and they kind of resonate with that memory, isn't it, going, "That guy makes me happy because he puts a football session on for me." So I love that. I think I'm going to make a t-shirt with that on it, Chalky.
Best part of this. What a great message.
Brilliant. It's a brilliant, if you think about that.
Great message.
Yeah, Have you got any examples of that, Chucky, as well, where similar sort of stories and moments where you've seen just little moments like that have made such a big difference?
Well, I don't know if I'm going to answer your question here. Sometimes you don't know if it's made that difference. Sure. I think if the kids come back the next game week, then you think, well, they like it here. I've got them active. And as Paul says, there's the mental health. See, the thing is, it's not just about keeping the kids coming back and being part of, unfortunately, I'm part of two local football clubs because my oldest plays for Haddington in East Lothian and my mother lad plays for Trenent. And the other big thing I've found is it's great that my kids are going there kicking a ball about or trying to kick a ball about every single weekend. But see the number of people I'm connected to socially. Yeah. Now, that's the mums, the dads, the uncles, the grannies. It really helps your community become really cohesive. You know, the amount of people you meet down in Aldi or Asda or any of these places, it brings everybody together. So as soon as you lose somebody from your team because they maybe want to give up and maybe because they don't love the sport or they want to go and do something else, that chips away at your community staying together there. I think it's a cliche, but it's true. I think if you just, you know, it might be hello or a fist bump or how you doing. If you just get a wee smile off somebody that might be introvert or somebody that's just generally quite quiet. My lad's got a boy in his team. He's probably one of the biggest lads there, but he's a shy, shy boy. And every week I see him, I say, big man, great to see you. Thought you did magic at the weekend just to kind of, you know, see him light up a wee bit because he's just so, so introvert. So, Lewis, I don't think you'll always see it. I think you can only do what your gut tells you is the right thing to do. But just adding what Paul's saying as well, if we can do this for kids, you know, when your boss is at your work, and it doesn't happen to me very often, but if your boss, you know, knocks on the office door and says, by the way, Chalky, great job. I mean, Greg knows that doesn't happen very often to me, but great job, well done, good effort. See, as a 35-year-old adult, I'm made up for the rest of the day. I'm pumped and I'm ready to go again. See, for a young person, that's got to be magnified 100 times. Does it, you know, just somebody telling you you're doing well and you're sticking in and you're producing. So it can't be underestimated.
Well, see when all the things is Chalky says there, see all the way through it, and I found, you mean, because working for the Scottish FA when football wasn't on, wasn't easy. It wasn't easy. You know, people are going, how can you not get it back? And I was going, it's not really my decision. I'm really sorry. I've got two kids. I'm sorry. It's not. And as Greg says, and as Chalky says, I'm involved in a grassroots club. I'm in the club committee, right? So here I've got these two impossible hats to try and wear. One I'm on my club committee going, no, the guys, we need, and they're going, hey, but you're the guy stopping us. I'm going, no, I'm not the guy stopping you. And what was really humbling, and I think the bit that you mentioned there, Chalky, that you don't see it, was it came to our club AGM, right? And of course, a few of the guys in the club were going, the SSA need to get it back quick. And I'm going, guys, it's not really our call. And on the AGM, the chair went right at the very end, he says, look, I want to put a wee note in here. And I just think we need to just thank people like Paul because he's done our PVGs and he's done all that. And the call then, and I started wailing up. I had to go on mute. I was going, yeah, man. And some of the guys were coming on the call going, aye, wee man, you know, I know we say these things, but we don't really mean, you know, it's just, we're just frustrated. But thanks a million because you kept us motivated and you kept us in the loop and you did this. And I think what Chalky's saying is that does resonate around about. There is the Johnny Bells, there is the people at our clubs who just kept going back and kept going back. And people just kept kids, adults, communities together. And the biggest cohesion in a community is normally the local football club. It's the biggest bit of glue in a community. And no matter what you say, and I will always get on my soapbox about this, it will help us coming out of this lockdown to heal communities because all of a sudden you're going to be able to see that person. You've only been able to WhatsApp. You're going to be able to go, how are you doing? You all right? Aye. And that all right means, is your family okay? Is your job all right? Did you lose anything? You know what I mean? And that's what it means. And we will be able to get back out of it. And by doing that, we'll get kids of all ages, because they can be a kid at 95-year-old playing walking football, back having a smile, back doing what we love, and back throwing that magic dust over them and saying, just score a goal in there, have a bit of fun in doing that. So I think you're right, Chalky, you don't see it, but deep down, even with the hardest welder for the shipyard, they've appreciated what a lot of people have done in this for their family.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it, the influence of football in the community. And when you hear Paul talking about that, it's when it really hits home for you. But it is, certainly the physical elements are obvious, but that mental aspect, I think, is just going to be so big, obviously. But do you sense there might be a bit of an initial challenge for people? There might be some people that mentally have that kind of hesitance to come back to the game because it has been so long. Do you see that being an issue for some people out there? Would you kind of...
Certainly, speaking from experience of the wee Troon Thistle team that I've got, and I take three age groups, and I tend to mix the three age groups up at the first, which is a great thing. We'll all agree mixed age play is great, but some of the younger kids didn't like it at first. But I said, listen, this is the only way I can get on, because people were, as you say, people were hesitant to come straight back, Lewis. You know, and that was last August or whenever the restrictions were first lifted. So I'd maybe went to having three groups of 20 each age group to just a group of 20. And eventually it built and it built and it built. And, you know, now we've got more than the three groups of 20. We've probably got three groups of 30 or 40 now, which is great. But I think you're right. I think you're maybe alluding to some people might be just a little bit hesitant. And it's, I suppose it's that race that the government talk about, isn't it? It's the race of, you know, how confident are people going to be with vaccinations? Obviously, the kids might not be vaccinated. And, you know, if as time progresses scientifically, are kids okay? Are the coaches... Or myself, Paul and Chalky, I think, I'll speak for myself here, but I think the three of us are all in our 40s. Just. But like, when did we get vaccinated? When did other coaches we're working with get vaccinated? So I don't know. All that might just have an influence. You know, people are crying out now for teachers to be vaccinated. So why, you know, football coaches that are working with the kids, as Chalky says, we can't give the fist bump, maybe. So there's factors there, but I think Paul certainly alluded to this better than I did. I think the community did a very, very good job of working within the restrictions that were set during the last period. You know, I think, like, yes, we get moans and groans that parents couldn't come and watch the game, but in the main way, you know, people were well behaved and stayed away. You know, and we were brave in what we did, and we were brave in what we put on for the kids. But I think there will be hesitancy, but I would urge people just to come back and enjoy it and throw themselves at it again.
I think, Lewis, there's probably two ones. One, I was the last time around, as I say, you got on the call, and I, of course, I'm over enthusiastic, and I'm on the Zoom call going, right, guys, we've got a chance to get back, and I've booked the rugby club, and I've bought the sanitizer, and you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And my mate's really good, because my mate helps me run my age group, not the whole club, as a trainer. So he kind of can judge the audience, right, and he can ask the good questions. And he went, oh, wait a minute, are we all okay coming back, guys? Because, of course, we're the most important people. Are you safe? Do you feel all right? Because you don't need to do it if you don't want to. So it's up to you guys. Nobody's forcing you here. And, of course, I'm standing going, I've got water as a sanitizer, and I've got wipes, and I've got Fitbits. Yeah. And not one of them went, no, they all went, no, we're fine. It's more important that we get the kids back in. So I do think hiding behind every locked door at the moment in time is somebody with their shorts on, their Under Armour on, they're probably not got their Under Armour on, and their T-shirt on, and a mould master under their arm going, when can I go? Let me get back on the pitch. And I think you're right, Greg. It's, we did amazing with the guidance. You just seen people in wee bubbles and they're doing it correctly, and sanitizer bought and balls wiped down, and everybody going in individual cars. But I think as we do it and as we come back out, what we've discussed on here, one of the most important things is make it fun, don't make it overcomplicated, and let the kids of all ages smile and just go back, because they've had a hell of a hard time. And if we can help them just get that wee bit of burning passion back in their soul, then we're doing our job. We're doing our job really well. So that's the only bit I would encourage. But I think with an opportunity, maybe, you know what I mean? Because by the time we've won the Euros, you're laughing at the time John McGinn's got up at that back post in the final, let's just use it as a 2-21 as the moment that Scottish football goes massively forward, with big smiles and big bit of fun in our heart.
It's crazy, isn't it? Because you just have to applaud and respect the patience, the support. You touched on how everybody's been so stringent with the guidelines, Paul, and followed things so well. We've seen such great examples from the grassroots game. And it's all coming at a time where they're having to be patient and wait when Scotland are doing that well on the pitch, when the passing's probably at an all-time high. It's just,
it's the most Scottish thing ever, isn't it?
Brutal. But it's,
but Lewis, touching on that one, let's all think about the moment when Davy Marshall's big left horn went out and done something, and the whole of the nation took a big deep breath, and all you just went, are we there? We never automatically celebrated. We all took a wee intake of breath, and we all went. But the most important bit there was Ryan Christie's interview.
Aye.
He was a 5-year-old again, which I think was the most humbling thing. I started greeting listening to it because it was a 5-year-old. It was a guy just going, I've done something here. I've helped. And he did help. He helped for a bit of time. But he was a 5-year-old who'd played Wally, 1021er, World Cup, something like that. Somebody at one point had put the passion in his head and in his heart, which is go and express yourself, go and play, go and be excited about something. And that interview and Davy Arshall's left hand, along with the women's team last year at the World Cup, have made people believe that the impossible is possible. Yep. If you just believe, you work hard, but you bring fun to everything. And it's something we should promote as much as we can.
Yep. Absolutely. I agree with that, Chalky, I'm assuming.
I always agree with Paul. the thing is, the other thing that's come out of this, just kind of harking back again, this Janny Bell, because I keep thinking about the Janny that was at my primary school as well, and I think I was 8, and he says, away and just you play in the middle of that park. I never moved to the actual centre spot for about half an hour because literally, but I think we should start after this podcast getting on the phone, lobbying Andy Gould, the Sunday Mail and McDonald's to bring the category or create the category best football Janny in Scotland. So we've got more football Jannies coming back and we're celebrating them, and hopefully there's an almighty scramble for Jannies to start stocking them old masters again, Greg. Playground.
There's a campaign.
Well, I guess, guys, if there's any kind of final points you want to throw out there for everybody listening in, I guess for me, taking and listening to you guys, the passion, the enthusiasm is incredible, and it always has been. But it's just a reiterating of the message that things will be back. We will get there again. And people listening might feel that frustration. I know personally I'm getting that frustrated way now with this new lockdown that it's just such a long slog. But I guess just be patient and it will be back to what we know and love again very soon, hopefully.
I think it will, Lewis. I think it's probably worth revisiting as well. It's probably worth revisiting, you know, when we're about to come out of this and hearing from Paul and Chalky again and what they're doing at our club. And, you know, I can maybe even say what we're doing at Trinity. Because the thing is, we will all find a way. And Paul's, I suppose, passion for it will carry us through as it always does. And then we'll get there. We will get there. You know, I'm looking outside. We're recording this at 5:15 at night. It's light. It's light outside. A month ago, it was dark. It's light outside again. Kids can still go out and play at this time of night. You can still get that patch of grass when we do come back on in 4 weeks' time, 5 weeks' time, however long it might be. So, yeah, let's be positive and let's move forward. And I think let's do a part two as well once we get back on the pitch.
Absolutely. I think one thing, Lewis, is let's be proud of our sport.
Yeah.
Sometimes we're not too good at celebrating how great football is to society. Sometimes we're just not good at it because sometimes we can get knocked down and other people will say things. This has been a horrible, horrible virus that has hurt society. But we have a sport that has looked after communities, that has been passionate. And Greg's right, see in 6 months' time, it would be amazing to be back and starting to go like that. Look at all these kids running about. Look at them all with the Scotland won the Euros t-shirts on. Are you laughing? I've got them printed. But we have something in us. In 6 months' time, I will guarantee you there will be people running about in there, smiling again. But let's just pause and remember some of the things that we spoke about. The Janny Bells, the people putting the passion into you, bringing that noise, making the session fun and enjoyable, talking to children, making sure that they understand that they are the most important, and Nick and Chalky's one, make them have the best part of their day. You be that best part of their day and make them smile, because that is something that is just beautiful.
Absolutely. Well, gentlemen, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you, and we will have a part two of that, I know, as things start to drip slowly back to where we were. Hopefully it's sooner rather than later anyway. But Chalky, Paul and Greg, as always, thanks very much for joining in the podcast. It's been a pleasure, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Cheers,
guys. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.